bring in Detective Eric Edson from the Sheboygan Police Department. Joins us usually a couple times a month. Always keeps us on top of fraud and scams impacting our area. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kelly. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. No shortage of fraud and scams in our area, huh?
Unfortunately, no. But I think we talked about education is the key. So yep. I think the more we talk about this, it encourage other people to talk with their family members, especially older family members, about it. Get the word out. A lot of these scams have very common themes, and if you just really kind of drill down and follow a few simple steps, you can really avoid being a victim of some of these scams.
All right. So. Having said that, where do you want to start?
How about the You've Won emails? These are probably the most prevalent ones. Several years ago, I think Yahoo had a data breach, and I had an old AT&T email account, and I'm still getting probably every day 20, 30 emails like this where they're just back to back to back. They're obviously scams or grammatical errors, spelling errors, but it's that enticement of you've won and then just insert whatever, an iPhone, a free trip, an upgrade to your service, you know, whatever it is. Some of them are actually, I don't want to call them legitimate businesses, but they're legal businesses, and what they're trying to do is just get you to sign up for some kind of subscription thing where, you know, you win this prize, but you have to sign up for credit monitoring or some kind of subscription service or something. So they're not always just a scam to get your personal information or your credit card. But a lot of times they'll try to trick you into signing up for something, and people are creatures of habit, and you forget that you signed up for it, and you get this recurring charge on your credit card. So really, a lot of these emails, you're never going to really receive the gift that they're promising you. So just don't even click on the links. Just delete those emails. Anytime you see something like that where you've won something and the prize is something where it's a valuable kind of a thing, or you get multiple emails in your inbox that are from the same kind of thing, maybe just slight variations, those are all going to be scams. The best policy is just to delete those. You really haven't won anything. Don't fall into that enticement of clicking on it. Next thing you know, you're down the rabbit hole filling out forms of information and giving your credit card, and before you know it, all that personal information is out there.
So, yeah, and then it's too late, right?
That is too late, right.
So and they promise you a gift, but you got to pay something first in some instances,
and
right?
That's a big tip off too. Yeah. If it's a legitimate prize that you've won, you shouldn't have to pay a fee to get the prize.
All right. Got utility scams out there too, I understand, huh, Eric?
Yeah, this has been an ongoing thing. It's not as prevalent as it used to be, but it's still out there, and we've seen it here locally fairly frequently, where you'll get a call or text message from your utility saying that they're going to shut down your service because you're overdue on a bill, or you haven't paid, or there's some kind of charge on there, which is obviously a lie. They're going to threaten to shut down your service until you pay, and usually it's either wire transfer like MoneyGram or Western Union. It could be gift cards, or it could be, lately it's been cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
Just understand that any legitimate utility none of them accept payments in those forms. No utility company is going to say you have to pay with a gift card or Bitcoin. And before they shut down your service, they're going to give you an opportunity to set up a payment plan or something like that. And they're not going to call or text you. They're going to send you a letter saying your account is past due, here's the situation kind of thing. Please contact us. If you are concerned about a bill or something like a past due amount, go on the utility's website or look at your bill and call the number that's on there instead of replying to an unsolicited text message or a phone call. That's the best way to get in touch with them to verify that information. Like we talked about just before, it's getting to the point where you can't trust anything today. You always have to verify before you take action, especially if it involves a significant amount of money.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but
it's just too easy.
It's
too easy to spam and spoof identities and things like that, which we'll get into in this next subject. But it's just way too easy to do that online, so you always have to verify.
And the whole gift card thing just blows my mind. It's like, has anyone ever paid a bill with a gift card?
Probably not legitimately, right?
Right. But, so why would you think, okay, I'll just send them a gift card?
But if you're panicked, if let's say you run a daycare and all of a sudden you get a phone call from the utility saying, hey, you're overdue and we're going to shut down everything in 10 minutes if you don't, and you panic and you don't take a deep breath and pause and just kind of think about it. Does this sound legitimate?
Right.
You might be encouraged to act and do that, and you're not really thinking clearly, and you don't really kind of scrutinize, should I be paying with a gift card? So it happens, and it's unfortunate, but that's why we encourage people to just, whenever you get a call like that threatens something right away, immediate action, take a deep breath and just think about it. Is this legitimate?
Yeah, good advice. What's the Ticketmaster scam?
So people are going back to concerts and events and things like that, and there's been some scams lately where people will search, like do a Google search or something, where they say, how can I transfer my tickets from a previous event, or how do I get tickets for this event? And they'll just click on a link without really looking at it, and people are able to very discreetly change the web address. So instead of Ticketmaster, it might say Ticket Smarter or Ticket Faster, where they just change a letter. And when you click on it, it looks legitimate. So you enter your information and all that kind of stuff. Next thing you know, either you're not getting the tickets that you asked for, you're being charged an amount that is much higher than was advertised, or you're not getting the tickets at all. It's just a scam.
Right.
So if you are going to purchase tickets to an event, the best thing to do is go directly through the venue that the event is handled at. If you are going to use a third-party ticket seller, make sure that you check them out ahead of time. Make sure that you double-check the web address, the URL that's in your web browser. Make sure that it's what you think it is. Maybe the Better Business Bureau has reviews on a lot of these companies. Make sure that you're dealing with a reputable kind of a business. And just make sure that when you're clicking on links that you know where you're going to, that you double check those links, make sure that it's what you typed in or what you think it is. That's where typing in an address on a web browser is much more secure than just clicking on a link.
Sure.
Because you're actually typing it in, going to that legitimate website that you know about. Certainly is much more convenient, faster to click just through a link, but there's all kinds of problems that can happen with that.
So definitely
just again,
risk.
Yeah, just be aware of that. The other thing is, if you're going to buy anything online, make sure you're using a credit card, not a debit card, not a gift card, not a money transfer. None of those other payment methods have the same consumer protections that your credit card does. If you do fall victim to a scam, you do have some consumer protections with your credit card that you can dispute the charge, and hopefully you have a much better chance of getting your money back. If you send cash or a wire transfer, something like that, it's gone. You're not going to get it back.
All right. And virtual kidnapping.
Yeah, this one we haven't seen around here, but it's been around in Illinois. It was pretty popular in Illinois recently. We've seen versions of this where it's not really a kidnapping, but someone will, let's just say that you're a grandparent, you receive a call from your grandchild saying, I've been in an accident. The police won't let me go unless I pay a fine or something like that. That's been the typical one. This one, they actually allege that they've kidnapped one of your loved ones. You may hear a person screaming or crying in the background, and they are going to threaten that they're going to commit some kind of violence against this person if you don't pay a ransom. So immediately, your adrenaline is up. You're not thinking clearly. You're very emotional, and people oftentimes will wire that money. Also, the scammers have made it more believable because so many people put their public information out on Facebook, Instagram, things like that. So imagine if you get a phone call from a caller ID number that you know is your grandchild or some family member, which they can spoof very easily. And let's say that they are on vacation someplace and they posted that on their Facebook account. So a scammer can go on Facebook, if your profile is open, see that you're on vacation in Colorado, let's say, and as they scroll through your profile, they can see who your parents are through other posts. So now they call, they do a little public research and they get your parents' phone number. So they call from your cell phone number, it looks like, to your parents. Hey, I'm in Colorado, I've been kidnapped, or you know, whatever the scam is. So there's all this information out there that helps kind of shore up these this social engineering to help make these scams more believable. And people just convince themselves, because they're so emotional, that the person that I heard crying or screaming is my son, daughter, grandchild, whatever it is. So it really makes it more believable and encourages people to act immediately. So it's a scary situation. Obviously, if you were to get a phone call that a family member was in trouble, you want to help. But it's, again, important just to slow down just a little bit, take a deep breath. Remain calm, don't overreact. Some experts suggest maybe having a password, like a family password, to try to verify information. But I think the biggest thing is just to talk with your family members, especially older family members who may be more susceptible to falling for these kind of scams, and just, you know, let them know, hey, if you ever receive a phone call that I'm in trouble or something like that, call mom and dad or call me, and just verify that before you decide to pay some money. So
good advice. Good stuff again, as usual, Eric. Never a shortage of stuff to talk about here when you visit us.
Unfortunately, so. Yeah. But again, education is the key.
It is. It is indeed. Eric Edson, detective from the Sheboygan Police Department. Thanks so much for coming in. Good to see you.
You too, Kelly.
See you next time.
Yep. A couple weeks.